Welcome to the Plain English Attorney Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey G. Marsacci, and I'm an attorney, certified Medicaid planner, and author by trade. But I've been told that my biggest strength is to boil down complicated legal issues into plain English. In this podcast, I'll cover a wide array of legal, financial, and current event issues relevant to today's busy listener. It's my goal to make the complex more simple for you so you can get on to what is important to you in your life. Please make sure to check out the links in the podcast description. And as always, please subscribe and comment. Hi, this is Jeff Marsacci, the Plain English Attorney, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the recent election and some of the court challenges that are going on. I want to make sure that we're being clear and that people actually get the plain English truth about things, because there is a ton of misinformation out there. All right, so what exactly are these lawsuits that are being put forth by the Trump campaign in the various battleground states that went for Joe Biden, and what is it all about? And just to sum it up, what it really comes down to is Trump lost. He lost the election. That's, in a factual sense, that's not in dispute, but people who are not happy with the outcome are simply grasping at whatever potential straws there are. And the hope, the prayer for them is, okay, if we get this to the Supreme Court, they owe Trump. They'll give him the election. That's not democracy. But what exactly are these court challenges? Well, there are really three main ones that are coming up, and I'll run through what those theories are, and we'll end up debunking them. First, dead people voted. There was a claim that 10,000 people in Michigan who were dead miraculously voted. It's crap. This list of 10,000 people who were dead who voted, anything on that list, you start going through it, and it's people with similar or even the same names who died in other states and are not the same person had died. So it's, oh, well, here, John H. Smith, he died in Utah. Okay, but there is a John H. Smith that matches up with the address and the actual date of birth in Michigan who is alive and voted. So it's that entire list of those 10,000. It's just every spot check they've done comes up with either it's someone else who died in another state. It's not that particular voter. And so their mail-in vote or their in-person vote was valid. Two, they actually did die, but they didn't vote. But yet they still were put on this list of 10,000 people. And there are other instances of, okay, there was one gentleman, and this, I guess you could legitimately challenge it. He had the exact same name as his father. They didn't use senior or junior. He got the application to do mail-in ballot. He utilized it, and he voted. And it was under his father's voter ID number. And he didn't vote. He just legitimately thought it was, oh, they sent it to me because it is my name, and it's at the address that he lived at, which is where his father had lived at before he died, and he voted. Okay, should that vote not count? That's crazy. And one that actually made it on national news, on Fox News with Tucker Carlson, was, oh, this guy's been dead for 6 years. And, you know, so how did he miraculously vote? it wasn't him, it was his wife who uses, like, Mrs. John Smith. That's her name. That's how she voted under her voter ID. But yet this falsehood ends up being spread out throughout the media. And even with all of this debunking of it, people from the Trump campaign and top Republican elected officials keep pointing, see, there's fraud there, and it's not there. Any cursory fact-checking is showing, no, dead people didn't vote. So there was one instance of voter fraud in Pennsylvania where a gentleman forged his dead mother's signature on a ballot application, and he's under arrest. So see, there's voter fraud. Yeah, he was a Republican and wanted to vote for Trump because he had been told that this was going to be a rigged election and he wanted to even the score as much as he could. So this whole dead people voted, that's ridiculous. It's not true. Second thing, all of these mail-in ballots are fraudulent. No, there are very strict procedures in all 50 states to verify that the people who actually get the ballots by mail and vote and turn them in are registered voters. They're not dead. And when people get these ballot applications in the mail, they have to sign under penalties of perjury that they are in fact the person described in the application. So when the ballots come in, they are checked against the voter rolls. The signatures are matched against signatures they have on record. So no, there's no massive voter fraud. And then there's also this really strange conspiracy that just, oh my God, it just completely falls apart. It's, well, we were watching Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and Trump was way up. But then suddenly, all of these votes started coming in for Joe Biden. How can this happen? And it happened in these states, but it didn't happen like in Florida. All right, here's the very simple explanation. So just pay attention to this because it really is basic and simple. All 50 states have their own procedures for the counting of legitimate votes. Florida, even with a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, saw that there was going to be a huge jump in mail-in ballots because, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So they said, we do not want a repeat of the 2000 election where the vote counting dragged on for weeks. So we're authorizing and funding the Board of Elections to count and tabulate the mail-in votes and the early votes that come in, but not release those numbers until after the polls close on election night. So that's why in Florida, you had a Biden lead because all of those mail-in votes were brought in and counted. And as soon as the polls closed, okay, they started registering those votes. And then the in-person votes for Trump started getting adding on to it, and he overtook Biden. And well, why did that happen? Well, because Donald Trump, for 3 or 4 months or more, was talking about how this mail-in voting is going to rig the election, and he pushed all of his supporters, don't vote by mail, you know, go to the polls yourself, make sure your vote counts. And so that's what Republicans did. Democrats were, look, we're in a pandemic. If voting by mail is a safer option for you, do it. It's legitimate. So that's why in Florida, all those mail-in votes counted first and Trump overtook them. In Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, those Republican legislators, even at the insistence of secretaries of state and election officials and even governors, saying, please let them count the votes so that we don't have to have this linger for days, they said no. So, okay, all of those in-person votes counted first because those were the ones coming in and they could only start the counting after the polls closed. So that's why the in-person votes, which again, Trump and the Republicans were pushing vote in person, those got registered first, and then all the mail-in ballots were starting to get opened and were then registering. So yeah, that's why there's no conspiracy here. There's no false ballots. It's not, oh, we're filling out these ballots for people who don't exist because we want Joe Biden. Do you know what kind of conspiracy that would need to happen? Thousands of people. Thousands. And nobody's willing to swear under oath that this happened. And in fact, even the lawyers who are going into court to say these things and allege these things, as soon as the judge questions them directly, are you saying you have evidence of fraud? They're having to say no, because lying to the judge could get them disbarred and they would lose their career. And they're not willing to do that. And, oh, well, what about the throwing out of all the Trump ballots? Well, that didn't happen either, because all of those mail-in ballots end up getting opened at the counting facilities. And in a lot of cases, these states and these facilities are live streaming. You would see that. So it's not happening. And then the third thing, oh, people voted after Election Day. How can you allow this to happen? They voted after Election. No, they didn't. Because mail-in voting means it has to be postmarked on Election Day. So in order for it to be postmarked on Election Day, they would have had to have put it in the mail on Election Day or before, which meant they had to fill it out on Election Day or earlier. I mean, it's not rocket science here. So people who are saying, oh, they should stop the counting on election night because all those mail-in ballots that would have been them voting after Election Day. No, they voted when they filled out the ballot, sealed the envelope, and dropped it in the mail. So, I mean, again, this is just a common sense thing. But then you get these stories of this postal worker. And I'm kidding you not, it was 44th, Pennsylvania. He was just alleging that, oh, all these, they were filling out ballots for Joe Biden, or all these mail-in ballots that were coming in after Election Day, they were backdating the postmarks. Well, thing is, there's an electronic way that they know when each piece of mail is received. And he was alleging thousands of these mail-in ballots were being postmarked on Election Day when they were coming in after. Do you know how many came into that post office after Election Day? Two. That's it. So he's making all these false allegations, and you're going to like this. He made all these false allegations, and then as soon as he ends up having federal officials question him and sign an affidavit, he's like, no, it didn't happen. He recanted his story. Then after he signs the affidavit saying, no, it's not true, I didn't actually see fraud happen, he goes online and says, yes, the fraud did happen. And by the way, please support me because I'm being attacked on all sides. And he ended up raising like $136,000 for himself, which GoFundMe refused to give to him because it was fraud. So, you know, these are the challenges that are going into court. And again, it's just not true. So, how is this different than the 2000 election? Well, Florida swung the election it could have swung it one way or the other. And the vote discrepancy was something less than 800 votes. So that's why there were massive recounts and all of these challenges. And yeah, the Supreme Court gave that election to George W. Bush over Al Gore. But what we're talking about here is tens of thousands of votes in multiple states, to the point where there would have to be such complete and widespread election fraud in three or more states in order to swing this election to Donald Trump. And the evidence just isn't there. So you can go on Fox News and other conservative media and make all of the allegations that you want. There's massive widespread fraud and we have the proof. Okay, show me the proof. There is no proof. They can't give you anything. So all of these court cases are being struck down, thrown out, dismissed, and the lawyers who were being engaged to put forth all of these challenges, they keep dropping out because there isn't anything there. There isn't. So, was there massive fraud in the 2020 election? No. And you can have all the court challenges that you want. It's not going to change the reality that Joe Biden is the president-elect and he won the election. There's no legal challenge without proof. And because there's no proof, all the cases are being dismissed. So that really is the plain English truth about all of this, is these court cases are not amounting to anything because the second actual evidence has to be presented, the attorneys can't present it. There is nothing. So that's the state of the court challenges. So I hope you found that information useful and maybe a little bit entertaining. And as always, stay safe, plan ahead, and enjoy life. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Plain English Attorney Podcast, and we hope you found this session interesting and informative. For more information, please check out the links in the description, and please let us know if you have any ideas for future podcasts.